passion and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, our one podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Well, we are inching our way to Turkey Day. Thanks and welcome to the weekend, because it feels like the weekend already on a Wednesday afternoon. Everyone off, everyone heading to somebody's house in the car or at the airport. Welcome in. We'll get you ready for the rest of the weekend as we say hello to you and remind you of what happened last night. Only one more Tuesday night. We have to experience the college football reveal. Washington moves up, FSU down. It's Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan, Washington, Florida State. Nope, not much else has changed. Oregon, Texas, Alabama remain the same. Missouri, as we work our way through, Ole Miss at 12th, LSU at 14th, Notre Dame at 18. And the question I ask, losing by 28 points two consecutive weeks, obviously does not upset the College Football Playoff Committee, because Tennessee remains in the top 25 in good stead. Rivalry week alive and well. 9 teams remaining, the most competitive and compelling CFP jigsaw puzzle we have ever had. Got a bunch of games on Thursday night, of course, the Egg Bowl, but Friday, look at this lineup. Tech at Texas, that could be a tricky game. Oregon State at Oregon, the big one at noon, Bama. And let's get to that big game. Once again, the game up north takes center stage for the second year in a row. It's the biggest game in the country in the regular season. Ralph Russo covering it, as well as the entire college football scene for the Associated Press. Ralph, good afternoon. Happy Thanksgiving. Great to have you with us.
Thank you, Paul, and happy Thanksgiving to you as well. Yeah, looking forward to being in Ann Arbor this weekend with a lot of my colleagues.
I can imagine. Kind of give us the lay of the land on what you expect up there.
Yeah, it's hard to, when you have a rivalry like Ohio State, Michigan, it's hard to, you know, sort of say, like, this is the biggest thing ever in the rivalry, because it's a rivalry that has had more ranked matchups than any other rivalry. It's a rivalry that's had more top 10 games than any other rivalry. It's a rivalry that's had more top 5 games than any other rivalry. Just an enormous history here. But I think you can honestly say, with all that's going on off the field, with the scandal swirling around Michigan and Jim Harbaugh not even being at the game and suspended, and the fact that, you know, Ryan Day needing to win this game to, quote unquote, stay off the hot seat. And I don't think that's a real thing, but I think some people in Columbus might believe that. That's not even like the fourth storyline here. And if you wrap that all up in 2-3 for the Big Ten, with the Big Ten title on the line, basically, like, I just don't know if it can get any bigger than that. So, yeah, to say like this is the biggest and most important and most intriguing Ohio State-Michigan game of all time sounds like hyperbole, but it might be true.
But it seems like we've been at this precipice before. Was it, 2006 when we had this? 7 or 8 years ago, it seemed like we had it. It seems like we've had it a lot.
And that's why it's hard to even make that claim. But I also think the off the field stuff, right? Yeah. It's all the intrigue about what's going on with Michigan. The other thing, I wrote about it today is, you know, this rivalry, like every rivalry, has some edge to it, right? There's a cauldron of, you know, distrust and dislike. But I also feel like there's always been a healthy amount of respect, right? The 2006 game, which was 1-2, turned out to be in some ways like a tribute to Bo Schembechler, who died the day before. That game was oozing with storylines. And Woody and Bo, you know, sort of got at each other all the time, but generally, like, kind of liked each other. And you know, Bo was Woody's mentor. The other way around. Woody was Bo's mentor. We asked Ryan Day and Jim Harbaugh this week what the level of respect is. Do you respect the other coach and the other staff? And those guys couldn't even fake it. They both deflected the question and didn't even answer. So I think that all the other stuff is what sort of raises the level of this game. It's not just 2-3.
Talking to Ralph Russo about that. Ralph, let's advance that to where we are with the CFP, and it just seems like we're 20 hours removed from the announcement, and I'm fairly worn out with all the rhetoric, including my own. Where are you on what we saw last night and spinning it ahead, what it could mean?
Yeah, I didn't think I was surprised at all, the one move of Washington moving up after they had a top 15 win. I believe Boo Corrigan when he says they didn't factor in Jordan Travis's injury, because I thought Washington winning that game was going to move was going to move the Huskies up anyway past Florida State. You know, it's interesting, Paul. I think we sometimes root for chaos and upsets because that's the more intriguing thing, and that will make things harder on the committee and more intriguing and more mystery going into Selection Sunday. I actually think it becomes harder if the favorites generally win out, other than Alabama, of course. Alabama is, I think, the pivot point, and this is good for your show. I think they're the most important team in the country right now. If Georgia can beat Alabama in the SEC championship game, a lot of these things are going to fall into place. If Alabama wins that game, a lot of this is going to get harder for the committee to sort through. And again, I think a part of it is a lot of the favorites have been winning. If we had a few more upsets this weekend and next, it might make things easier for the committee. But with all the favorites winning out, if Alabama were to be the one underdog that pulls an upset here in the next couple of weeks, then it gets very tricky because you're going to have more teams deserving than you're going to have spots.
Yeah, and again, because we're all forced to play that game, I'm not going to subject you to it. We have plenty of time to get to it. But as far as this weekend, other than where you will be, where else will your eyes be in terms of keeping up with scores?
Yeah, definitely the Civil War in Oregon with Oregon State. Now, I think Oregon, it's going to be hard for, I think, Oregon State to go on the road and get up for another huge game after they played a pretty big one last week against Washington, but that's a pivotal game. Listen, I'm interested to see what happens with Florida State without Jordan Travis. I think, you know, the immediate reaction when he goes down is, oh boy, there goes Florida State's season. And then, well, Florida picks up an injury to its quarterback. And Florida's defense is really, really bad. So if I'm going to implement a new quarterback, that's probably the defense I'd like to do it against. And so I'm very interested to see how things play out in the Swamp. Very interested to see how things play out at Oregon. And, you know, you mentioned Texas, too. Texas has been sort of, you know, flirting with disaster a little bit. They haven't looked quite as dominant over the last couple of weeks. But that would be, you know, the Big 12, nothing's been decided in the Big 12. So I'm interested if that's the place where maybe we get that quote-unquote chaos and a couple of upsets. And all of a sudden, you know, it clears a team off of the playoff deck as opposed to, you know, adding more of them.
Great stuff from Ralph Russo. Can't wait for the weekend to begin for those of you who aren't already into the weekend. Ralph, thank you. We appreciate it. We begin the show with your phone calls in just a moment at 855-242-7285. And we are back with more right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're back. Great to have all of you with us here on this holiday. William starts it off in California.
Oh, I'm going to tell you why you're wrong about Georgia. You ready to hear it?
Of course. Always love to hear when I'm wrong.
All right. Georgia, if they're going to lose to Alabama, there'll be a one loss with only one top 10 win. Ohio State, Michigan, obviously that winner of that will be in. I believe Washington, Oregon, the winner of that is in. And, of course, Alabama would be in if they beat Georgia. So it'll come down to Georgia and Florida State. Florida State will have two top 10 wins and will win the conference championship and will be undefeated. That's why Florida State will get in.
Would you let
Georgia.
Me know who the top 10
Your
wins
turn.
Are from Florida State?
No, one is LSU.
LSU is no longer a top 10 win.
Well, at the time, well, when they did beat them,
that's
it was
not
the
what we're talking
five.
About here. We're talking about right now. We count on the final day, not the first day.
Well, if you want to go that route, Georgia,
We went through this about 7 or 8 years ago when Alabama lost
the
regular season.
Nine.
Hold on a second. Alabama beat Florida State. At the time, they were number three. By the end of the season, they were complete garbage. And everybody wanted to say, Alabama hasn't beaten anybody. And I tried that one. It didn't work. So what the committee looks at is where are you ranked now? And beating a three-loss LSU team is not that big of a deal.
I guess we'll see. But,
well, call me back when you can tell me how I'm wrong. I-Man is up next.
You know, Paul, that's all we need. Somebody from California telling us what we think and what ought to be done. Where does California have the nads to come out there and think they can tell everybody in this country how they should vote, how they should think, what they should drink, what they should eat, and you know, building multi-million-dollar houses on a damn fault line? What kind of foolishness is that, if I can borrow a term from another caller? What kind of foolishness is that? Now, Paul, you started off this program with a very interesting guest. And you got to talking about the playoffs and the Ohio State, Michigan. Then when it got to Alabama, no, we got plenty of time for that. We got plenty of time. Why was you deflecting that? Because Alabama was number ranked in the percentages? You didn't want to point your finger over there at the eighth place team? I mean, I love the way you deflect things, just like with that caller. Oh, no, that don't work. They number nothing now. But had that been an Alabama conversation, if they'd have beat them 5 years ago when they was number one. I mean, you're the guys. Look at what they've done. Look at their history. Look at their past. Look at they won seven out of three. I mean, you know, Paul, I got to love the way you handle all that. This, you know what, today I feel so good that I may call in 3-4 times. Now, I ain't giving out no black hats, but speaking of the black hat guy, he called in yesterday and said, why would you put Barry Manilow on before you would Elvis? And, he was referring to Jeff from Chicago, a legitimate businessman that's dealing with a product that's on the stock markets. And you know what? I've known Jeff for a long time, met him, hung out with him, great guy. And I tell you, if you order a case of water, coconut water from Jeff, guess what you're going to do? You go get a case of coconut. You might get two cases. You buy a T-shirt from Legend, guess what? You won't get the T-shirt and you won't get your damn money back. So he's got a lot of damn gall talk about him being the number one guy, the number one caller. And I appreciate him always. You know, he wants to be the line leader, but he's the only caller I know on this program that's extremely comfortable with a man behind him. Have a good day. War damn eagle.
Dwayne is up next.
Happy Thanksgiving, Paul Feinbaum. You hear me?
Happy. Great to hear from
you. I know. Hey, all them turkeys in Georgia. Hey, you're right, Paul Feinbaum. Alabama's going to beat the crap out of Georgia at December the 2nd or December the 4th. Yeah, them turkeys. That's all it is in Georgia, turkeys. Yeah, they better get their little win against Georgia Tech. But after Alabama get to them, they out the playoff, baby. Yeah, they gonna be out. They ain't no good. You know Georgia ain't no good. They ain't beat nobody. Oh, Miss Lane Kiffin ain't nobody. Lane Kiffin put a hot air. And Missouri, LSU beat Missouri. Nah, say that.
Hey, Dwayne, that Lane Kiffin hot air.
Yeah, man, keeping hot air.
All the time he blow air. Who'd you guys lose to this year?
BK would have ran the clock out instead of going, try to do whatever on offense and just run the clock out.
I don't remember that. I missed the game.
Yeah,
saw it on SportsCenter. Who won that game? Who won that game, Dwayne?
That's just like that dog. The school you went to, Tennessee, where they garbage self. That Virginia quarterback was garbage. Milton was garbage too. That quarterback for Tennessee, he garbage.
Hey, Dwayne,
you know that?
Dwayne, you got a generational player in Jaden Daniels.
What? Yeah.
What are you doing next weekend?
What I'm doing next weekend?
Alabama.
Hey, you know what I'm doing next
Alabama
weekend?
Alabama play and Georgia play.
Hey.
Where are you going to be?
Well, I'm going to be, huh? You know, I'm going to be at the game. You know, I got season tickets for Texas A&M and
I'm not talking about the 10 o'clock morning, the 10 a.m. morning game Saturday. I'm talking about the next week. When the whole football world's in Atlanta. Where are you gonna be?
Hey, I don't mean that. Where I'll be at? I might be in Atlanta too. You might see me in Atlanta. You never know where you're gonna see me at, buddy.
I won't be seeing you watch is you won't be watching LSU. I can assure you.
Hey, you graduated from Tennessee, but that quarterback for Tennessee, I already knew he was garbage. I knew he was garbage coming out the year. Hey, and another thing I want to tell you. Oh, Jimbo Fisher would have been there. We would have marked the floor with Jimbo Fisher. They shouldn't have fired Jimbo Fisher right now. They should have fired him after we beat the crap out of him this Friday. Hello?
Goodbye. Stacy is up next. Hello, Stacy.
Paul Feinbaum, what happened?
Hey there.
You tell me one person that's a joke, and I'm going to tell you two people that's a joke. You go first. Tell me one person that's a joke.
Dwayne.
Hey, he most definitely a joke. And I'm going to tell you my two people. Number one, the college football committee. They're a joke. The second person that's a joke to me is I-Man. How is I-Man going to call this show and then don't talk about nothing? He ain't said nothing about the Iron Bowl. Why is he deflecting that? Why he won't talk about the Alabama and Auburn matchup that's going to happen Saturday? Tell me why he ain't talking about that, Paul.
Because he doesn't even know the game's being played.
Now, he know it's being played, but he know he's finna get a butt whooping. He know he's finna get a butt whooping. So when you call the Paul Feinbaum show, I-Man, talk about Auburn. But you don't want to talk about Auburn because you know what's going to happen to Auburn. And before I get out of here, Paul, I'm finna get on you. Paul, who cooking things and getting done at your house?
Who cooks?
Yeah, who cooks?
Not me.
Well, I tell you what. Answer the question, Paul, before I say that. Who cook? You don't cook, so who cooking?
Well, if we do
First
cook,
lady
it
lady?
Will be my wife. It won't be me. But, I'll sit there and tell her whether it's right or wrong.
Well, I tell you what, Paul. If you want her to keep cooking, you better stop taking them calls from Cheerleader.
Ooh.
Yeah. Ooh. She talking about where you gonna be at, Paul Feinbaum?
You're right. I forgot about that. My wife may have accidentally put this show on.
Yeah, but guess what you said, Paul?
What'd I say?
Looking forward to it. Looking forward to it.
Hey, Stacy. Here's a little trick of the trade. You have to act interested, whether you really are or not.
I got you, Paul. Hey, that's why I like you, Paul Feinbaum. Happy Thanksgiving, man. Take care. Hey, I'll see you Friday, Paul.
Thank you, Stacy. Appreciate it. We head to the break. We're off and running here. Holiday show. You would never know it. This is a live show. This is not AI doing it.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we're back on this day before Turkey Day, we head to Tennessee. Peggy is up next.
Paul.
Okay, Peggy, how did I come to East Tennessee without seeing you last week?
Well, you know, I watched you and Michael Bratton. You know, I listened. I invited you over to Calhoun's, remember?
Oh, yeah.
And did you make it?
I didn't go to Calhoun's, but I went to the sister restaurant downtown.
Oh, okay. Well, I listened. You know, I was supposed to be there for one of the callers' birthday, and I'm going to tell you, Paul, I was so nervous about that ball game. Look, I've got so used to just sitting home and watching it and listening and then listening to you. I that's the way I do it. And I just couldn't, but I thought, no, this is crazy. I should have went down there and at least said hello. Because look, AJ is not Michael Bratton's only fan. I'm a big fan of his and Cousin Shane.
Well, I'm a fan of Bratton. I think Cousin Shane ought to be fired.
Hey, look at his betting record. He's had to do all kinds of. He's lost every bet. I mean, he walked 11 miles or something.
That's funny.
Listen, Paul, but you done great. Didn't they have a few billboards up for you? I think.
Yes, there were. There were six billboards up with my prediction
really?
For the game. Yeah.
Well, now look, we love you, Paul. You know, always everybody. That's just the way it is. Look, I haven't been to a game in about 25 years. I've had a whatever, I don't know. I'll explain that one day, but kind of trauma thing. And so I've just not kind of been socializing around a bunch of people. But next year's going to be the year.
I hope I've heard that before. Hey, thanks so much. Billy in Philly. Hello, Billy.
Hi, Paul. I'm calling to ask about something that I caught a fragment of a few days ago. It's about somebody who I was employed by Michigan, I believe, who didn't put a expense report in on some kind of travel.
Connor Stallions.
Right. And he was an employee, and he didn't put an expense report in, but he went to these places?
Correct.
He didn't do that for his health. That sounds like a cover-up.
Yeah. What's the old saying? If it looks like a duck and walks like a duck.
Okay. It's a duck. Okay. Where was he going?
Yeah.
To Michigan?
Well, I'm sure Coach Harbaugh didn't know anything about that because he's not in charge of the expense account.
Okay. So that was the issue. Thank you. I didn't get the full story, and it sounded fishy, but I didn't. You know, I just didn't get the whole story. Thank you. That's not good at all.
Not at all, Billy. Well, I appreciate you. Sorry to have to break the news to you. I know you're a Michigan man.
So I'll live through that. Thanks.
Hey, have a happy Thanksgiving. Thank you. John is up next.
Hey, just to correct, Connor Stallion was buying tickets and sending people to these games. He was on the sidelines for the Michigan games.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, I got disconnected yesterday. I talked for like 30 seconds before I realized I'm not on.
That's always the best calls.
I know. But you were kind of, I think Augie said you were about a sheet into the wind yesterday. You started off as a happy camper.
I know a lot of people were curious if I was really drunk. I wasn't, but we just got into that mode where we played drunk, and we might do it more often. It was fun.
Not when you're driving, though. You won't convince the cop. Hey, I've got some quick predictions, but happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, to the staff that does such a great job, and to the listeners. And to that end, I'll offer a quick holiday tip before I do the predictions, and that is to be sure to bring up politics and your college rivalries at the Thanksgiving dinner, and you're going to save a lot of money on Christmas gifts.
And so I think even more specific than that, John, I think there are certain figures in American politics you should bring up whether you like that person or not.
Oh, no kidding. We'll stay away from that one, though. So here are the quick predictions.
By the way, have you heard this is funny. I don't think we have it because I don't think we really want to hear it. But Shane Beamer brought up, was it today, guys, or yesterday, that
yesterday
the former president,
the
Donald Trump, was going to be at the Clemson-South Carolina game. And realizing, I mean, he was really excited about it. And then I think he realized that there were politics involved. So he said, well, by the way, President Biden and James Clyburn are also invited.
Unbelievable.
He didn't mention Nikki Haley, though, who's the main reason that Donald Trump is going to the game in the first place.
Beamer will do anything to deflect on his record.
She is a Clemson fan, by the way.
Yeah, I know. Hey, so here are the predictions. And this game's important to FSU if they want to get a seat back at the CFP table. Louisville over Kentucky by 21 points. Missouri, and because each program's going a different direction, Missouri over Arkansas by at least two touchdowns. I like Sam Pittman, but both he and Arkansas look defeated now. And then I think it's going to be another disaster in the pasture. Alabama over Auburn by at least 24 points. I think they should count that as a cupcake game, not a rival game. And then the Michigan-Ohio State game now. I'm going to be there, but there's two great programs. Either team could win. Good defenses, good running attacks. But I think it's going to be whichever quarterback makes the chunk plays. J.J. did it last year, obviously, those long touchdowns. But I also think Ohio State's hurting. They're missing Tommy Eichenberg, their best tackler, missing Michael Hall up front. And I think the key to this, Paul, is the emotions involved. Michigan's, you know, they've got the chip on the shoulder. They're carrying the we've been mistreated card in their pocket. And then you've got Ryan Day and Ohio State playing under pressure. And if I could give a quick, by the way, if you don't mind, you hear about Ohio State complaining about Marvin Harrison earlier this year when he was knocked out. You hear about the sign stealing. But here's a statistic you find interesting. In the last two games between Michigan and Ohio State, Michigan's outscored Ohio State in the second half, 56-17, 28-3 last year. And then even Georgia outscored them 18-3 in the fourth quarter. So apparently people are getting the second half signs on Ohio State.
Enjoy the weekend up there. Zach in Louisiana. Hello, Zach.
What's going on, Paul?
Hey there.
Hey, yeah, I just want to talk about your previous caller, actually, John from Louisville.
Sure. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I'm kind of sick of the brown nosing, Paul. I mean, every day it just seems he calls in. He doesn't have his own opinions. Constantly goes in line with what you're saying. I mean, it's just something about the guy.
So let me make this simple. You don't like John, do you?
No, not a fan.
Well.
Yeah. And I don't think I'm alone in that at all, actually. I mean, you know.
Well, we could do an Insta poll and see if you're right, but I have a feeling you probably are.
Yeah, I think so too.
there's no crime in not liking a caller to the show. Brad is up next in Destin.
Hey, Paul, happy Thanksgiving to you and Miss Linda.
Hey, thank you.
I wanted to give you a quick inside story. I think it's pretty funny about Bryant Hall and Iron Bowl and Thanksgiving.
Sure.
In 1984, I was the director of Bryant Hall, and going into the Auburn game, it was obvious we were going to have a losing season. And as I was going around checking curfew, a lot of the kids were asking me, they said, Coach, are we going to have chitlins for Thanksgiving? And I said, no, we're going to have ham and turkey and all the traditional. Well, they kept saying, you know, Coach, we all have chitlins at home. And I said, I know y'all are pulling my leg here. So I go around and I'm asking Cornelius Bennett and John Hand, Kerry Goode and Ricky Thomas and Wayne Davis, all the different guys. I said, are they making a joke out of this? They said, no, Coach. So I go down to see Miss Clements, the director. You remember Miss Clements that ran Bryant Hall. And I said, Miss Clements, a lot of the players want to have chitlins for Thanksgiving also. And she said, Coach, do you know what chitlins smell like when you cook them? And one of the other cooks was standing there, an older lady named Annie. And she said, Miss Clements, we can cook them out back. Well, anyway, I'll fast forward. I go to Piggly Wiggly and get 3 pounds of chitlins, cook them out back, serve them. They're gone in 10 minutes.
Oh, my goodness. Am I correct in saying that chitlins are the intestines?
Is correct. Okay. They're pig intestines. Right. Chitterlings is the correct. That's the way Yankees would pronounce it.
Very popular dish, especially in the South.
That's correct. So anyway, we go to the game. We're going to have a losing season. 1984, you remember what happened?
Brad, I remember it vividly.
Okay. Bo Jackson went the wrong way. Alabama beat Auburn. Well, in the locker room, a lot of the players were saying, Coach, you know why we won. It had to do with the chitlins. So fast forward a year later, same thing. Coming along, and they're saying, Coach, are we going to have chitlins this year? I said, you dadgum right, we're going to have chitlins. So I went and got 5 pounds of chitlins. So we served the Chitlins, 1985. You remember what happened? Van Tippen kicks the
one of the greatest games I've ever seen, maybe the greatest.
Van Tippen kicks the field goal and we win. The next year, Coach Perkins makes me the recruiting coordinator. We get a new director, Brian Hall. We don't serve Chitlin.
Nope.
Lawyer Tillman runs the reverse, and Auburn beats Alabama. So,
hey, by the way, do you remember, you were obviously on the field, but I kidded Pat Dye about this every time I saw him. But as you watch the replay of that, Lawyer Tillman was was he a wide receiver, I think? So
he was. He was a wide receiver, and Coach Dye was trying to call timeout.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm getting to. So as Lawyer Tillman is running the reverse for the winning score in the Iron Bowl in a critical game, because Pat Dye could not afford to lose three straight at that point after having there's Dye trying to call a timeout. The camera catches him, and he always denied it. He said, I really wasn't, but he was.
In today's game, they would have, of course, honored the timeout and all.
Yeah.
And I think the true thing was Lawyer Tillman had never run the reverse. He had another guy that he looked out and saw that Lawyer Tillman was there, and he didn't want him running the reverse. But anyway,
hey Brad, he goes 82, I know everybody has their favorite Iron Bowl memory, but 82, 83, 84, 85, and 86. I mean, there has never been a run like that in the history of that game or any other game. Every game came down to the final series.
that is correct. But anyway, I didn't know if you'd ever heard that story or not.
No, that is fantastic. Thank you, Brad. Really appreciate it. We're up against a break. We come back with more of your phone calls.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back as we continue here. It's a really happy afternoon, so let's keep the good tidings going. Bash is up next.
Hey, Paul, how are you doing today?
Okay, Bash.
That's great to hear. So Monday, Paul, when I called and I said I wanted to make peace and then you started meditating, that's not the peace I was referring to, but, you know, that's a good start. So my question to you, Paul, is can we have peace between us since it's Thanksgiving week?
I'm thinking.
I'm sorry, Paul, I couldn't hear that.
Yeah, I said I was contemplating. Well, I think in the spirit of the holiday, Bash, let's give peace a chance.
I agree with that. Thank you, Paul. Last week I was able to make peace with Stacy. This week, it's glad to make peace with you. And next week, I'm calling out legend. I am not in the mood for peace. And next week on Monday, I cannot wait to call.
Daryl is up next. Apparently, peace did not last very long there.
Hey, Paul, how you making out today, man?
We're doing great. How's everything down there, Daryl?
Everything's fine. I'm getting ready for Thanksgiving, you know. Big deal down here in my part of the country. Hey, I got a question for you. I've been thinking about it. I can't figure a way. What do you see as a path forward where Jaden Daniels could win the Heisman? What the heck? You know, what's the path forward? Do you have any ideas?
Yeah, I think you have to wait till this weekend. Let me just spit it out. He plays in an important game on the national scene. Why do I say that? Because he's playing at the same time as Ohio State, Michigan. And within that game, if you have Marvin Harrison Jr., who's probably right now number three on the Heisman list, should he have a monster game and an Ohio State win, I think it could very well catapult him. Then later, you've got Bo Nix playing, and then the following week, Bo Nix is perhaps playing again, and maybe Michael Harrison Jr. The best-case scenario for Jaden is for Ohio State to lose and for maybe Oregon to be upset, and then I think he'll be fine. I mean, he should win the Heisman. He's the best player in the country, but that doesn't mean that he will.
Yeah, three losses is hard to overcome. You know it?
Well, what's even harder to overcome, because you can do that. A number of players have won with three, is that by not playing next week, he is off the television screen at the most important time for voters.
I understand. Hey, I often wonder, what's your day like on Friday when you're getting ready to leave for SEC Nation? What time you have to get up and get to the airport? Y'all fly commercial or fly wheels up?
Daryl, we fly commercial. So it really depends on where we're going. If we're going someplace farther away, then it's probably a 6:30 flight. If it's somewhere a little closer, maybe slightly later. Then, you know, we obviously, wherever we go, if we go to like Auburn or you know, Texas, we're still an hour and a half to 2 hours away. So there, it's I mean, once you do it every week. You don't even think about it.
Yeah, and then you got to get there and set up the show.
Well,
show on Friday.
That's easy because the hard work is done behind the scenes, and I can assure you, I'm not part of that.
Well, that works out, but it's a long day.
Well, hey, it's Daryl, there are, I don't want to give you the cliche line, but Fridays are probably the most enjoyable day of the week because it's different. You're out there, you're getting a chance to visit fans, you're seeing people like coaches and players, and it really goes, the Friday show goes by very quickly.
Yeah. Y'all didn't make it to Baton Rouge this year.
No, and that is a major surprise because there were, I think, at least two or three times that we were heading there and something always got in the way. I don't know. Probably LSU losing got in the way.
Yeah, three losses. That'll get in the way. Well, look, you have a good Thanksgiving, Paul, and have a good flight out Friday, and I'll talk to you later.
Thank you, Daryl. Appreciate it. Ross Dellinger knows a little bit about Baton Rouge. He covered the Tigers before moving on. He'll join us next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.